St. John chapter 1 verse 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Now here he's saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, because we are Christians, we know what the Word is all about. The people who are not Christian, they would not know what the Word is all about. But in the Word of God, we see Jesus Christ is the Son of God and also is the Word of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we worship in triune God. But when you see, Son is from the beginning, and he has another name called the Word of God. When God speaks, he speaks through his Son. That's why Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. Book of Revelation chapter 19 verse 13, please read.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Now he says, who was dipped in the blood? We know Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for us, and his name is the Word of God. Now he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What he's trying to prove here, that the Word of God is from the beginning, and our God is from the beginning. So Jesus Christ, we see when he took the form of man, as according to the St. John chapter 1 verse 14. He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that Word we know is Jesus Christ. When he took the flesh as the Son of God, then we know Jesus Christ was born into this world. But here the Word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the Word of God is from the beginning. Read the 1 John chapter 1, verse 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life.
Now here is saying, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. Now if somebody says the Word is Jesus Christ, that's what he's trying to say. Jesus Christ lived with us, we heard him talking, we touched him, and we were with him. That's the Word he's talking about. So he said, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. So St. John is making a little bit clear. In St. John chapter 1 verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he is saying what that Word is. That Word is Jesus Christ. We saw him, he talked to us, we handle him, and we know who the Word of God is. So what is the Word of God we do not understand? Tell them the Word of God is the Son of God. Word of God is Jesus Christ. Why is Jesus Christ called the Word? Because, as I said, what God speaks, he speaks through Jesus Christ. And the Word of God has the power to give you life. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Now he says that Word has power to give you life. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God. So the Word of God is incorruptible. Jesus Christ is the one who is God, and he lives for eternity. And that Word, or that Jesus Christ, when you receive as your Lord and Savior, you get born again. So when you get born again, by the Word of God. And that's why the Jesus Christ is the word of God. He gives us life, and that life is eternal in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the St. John chapter 1, verse 2.
The same was in the beginning with God.
When he said the same, that same word was the beginning with God. That he's again trying to say Jesus Christ is from eternity. Many people are thinking Jesus Christ was born into this world 2,000 years ago. That's why his age is maybe 2,000. He is not a God, he is a man. Most of the time Jesus Christ called himself Son of Man. So the people argue with you. He said he's not a God, he's just a man. But the word of God is saying that same word was with God from the beginning. Verse 3. St. John chapter 1, verse 3.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Now again he's saying, when that word, the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, which is Son of God, he says all things were made by him. By him means by Jesus Christ or by the word of God. And without him was not anything made which was made. That means everything what you see with your eyes, everything was created by Jesus Christ. Then somebody will say that God is not a creator. Yes, when you say God, as soon as you say God, in your mind, you should be click like this. God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit. When you say God created, our triune God creating everything. In the beginning, when you say in a Genesis, in the beginning was God. But that God, when you say God, is Elohim, more than one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God was creating everything. So here he's saying all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Word of God, and Word of God has power to create. When God says, he said, and everything happened. So the God speaks and things happens. But the Word of God is saying Jesus Christ is the creator. Now, why are we emphasizing here Jesus Christ is the creator? Because there are the group of people will give the false doctrine, just like a Jehovah's Witnesses. They will tell you Jesus Christ is not God. He is a God, lower than God. But Jesus Christ is not lower than God. From these scriptures, we know Jesus Christ is equal. The Son of God is equal unto God. He is God himself. That's why he has the power to create all things. Read the Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17.
For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Now he is before all things were created. Not only that, he created the universe, but he is holding it. He knows how to control all the universe. So the God created everything, but he says he created through his Son. Son was there when God was creating everything. So the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is also creator. Book of Hebrews chapter 1, please read 2nd and 3rd verse.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
Now see, in these last days he spoke to us through his Son, which is the Word of God. And then he says, through him he made all the worlds. So the Jesus Christ is the creator. And so we should not be thinking Jesus Christ is a God or a smaller God or God created his Son. Son was not created. Son was from the beginning. That's why he says, I am Alpha and I am Omega. That means he is from the beginning. And that's what we want to know, that Jesus Christ, even the Jesus Christ name came after he came into this world and took the form of man, But in the beginning was not called the Jesus Christ, was called the Son of God or the Word of God. So the Word of God is from the beginning, the Son of God is from the beginning, the God is from the beginning, the Holy Spirit is from the beginning, our God is triune God. Okay, let's go to St. John chapter 1, verse 4.
In him was life, and the life was the light of man.
Now again he says, in him. In him, in that word, or that Jesus Christ, or in the Son of God, was life. And that life was the light of man. That means each and every person who is born into this world, Jesus Christ can give the life and light to that person. So he says, in Jesus Christ is life. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the life, I am the resurrection. So Jesus Christ is the life giver. If he has the life, and we get our life from him. So he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the Jesus Christ is the life giver. Read this, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11.
And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
So this is the record. He says, this is recorded. We know who has the life. And he says, that life, eternal life, is in his Son. So the eternal life comes from God. And Jesus Christ is eternal. So when he came into this world to give us eternal life, so the John says, we know eternal life is in his Son. Read the verse also 20. Same chapter.
And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
See, Jesus Christ came into this world to give us understanding. He explained what God is all about, and he says, in Jesus Christ, he is a true God, and in him there is eternal life. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the life. And so we know Jesus Christ has the life. When you say, I am the way, I am the life, that means there is no other life. Jesus Christ is the life giver. So we need eternal life, we need Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no eternal life. There are so many other religious people or religion will tell you, in our religion, there is a life. There is no life through any other man, but only through Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to the St. John chapter 1, verse 5.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Now here again he's saying, the light shineth in darkness. You remember when we were studying about the Jesus Christ coming to this world in a manger, and we learned that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when Jesus Christ coming into this world as a light and the life giver, and the devil's kingdom is called the kingdom of what? Darkness. Jesus' kingdom is the kingdom of life and the kingdom of light. So the darkness kingdom is kingdom of the devil. So now Jesus Christ comes as the Son of God, as the light of the world, and the devil was there to destroy him. He wanted to destroy his life, he wanted to destroy that light. But the Word of God says that darkness did not have power to quench that light, or destroy that light, or consume that light. If the devil had the power, he would have destroyed Jesus Christ. He tried his best, but he was not able to destroy that light. And then somebody says, is literally Jesus Christ is the light of the world? We know when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross of Calvary, and when he died, what happened? The darkness was not only on Jerusalem, but everywhere on the world. Let's read the Luke chapter 23, verse 44.
And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour.
When Jesus Christ died, he says, the darkness was over all the earth until the ninth hour. So you can see the noonday sun stopped shining when Jesus Christ died. So now people would know he was talking that I am the light of the world. And when Jesus died, all darkness fell upon the earth. But we are not talking outside light. When Jesus Christ was walking, people did not see the light. But actually he is trying to say the kingdom of the devil is the darkness. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ is light and life. That's why we learn that in Jesus Christ there is a life. And the devil tried to destroy the Jesus Christ, but it was impossible for devil to destroy the kingdom of God or even the Jesus Christ. People thought, you know, or even the devil might have thought, Jesus Christ was crucified and everything is over. But that was just the beginning of the new life. Jesus died, was buried, and came out of the grave. And now we got a new life. That life was not exist. Even the Adam didn't have that life. What life Jesus Christ gave it to us? Because he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, what he says, if anyone, any man or woman or anyone in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature or new creation. That means that creature was not exist, that creation was not exist, but when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and came from the grave, he bought the new life. That life was not exist before. That is the eternal life in Jesus Christ. So we read here that Jesus Christ came as the light of the world, St. John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That means that darkness wanted to swallow the light, but he was not able to do it. So same thing the Word of God is saying, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So you're going to shine for the glory of God. But the devil has no power to destroy you also. Let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Once you are born again, child of God, you have the same power as Christ. And devil has no power over you.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
See, you are a child of God, even though you are a little child. Little child means just born again child of God. Even though you are not mature in Christ yet, but if you are born again child of God, you are born by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a powerful force. You don't have to be afraid of devil. Devil should be afraid of you. That's what the Word of God says. Resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. We don't have to run from devil. You have to put devil to flight. So here he's saying, you and your little children, you are just born again, child of God. You have much more power than the power of the devil. What the devil is doing outside in the world, you have much more power than the devil. That's what the Word of God says. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you can cast out the demons. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can do miracles. Many people do not believe. St. John chapter 14, verse 12, what is saying? Jesus Christ said, whatever the miracle I did, you will do also. And you will do greater miracle than Jesus Christ. Please read.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now here is Jesus Christ is saying, I am going to go to my Father, I'm not going to keep you here like orphans. I'll be with you until the end of the age. But by the power of God, you are going to cast the demons out and you are going to raise the dead. You are going to do the miracle what I did, and you will do greater miracle than me. Jesus Christ is not jealous when you do more things. That's what he wants you to do. But the people are thinking, Jesus Christ is not here. And how can we do miracles? And many people will teaching you that the miracles are over. All these prophets are gone. Everything is finished now and we don't have any power. What the word of God is saying, Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. Jesus Christ says, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. So that Jesus Christ is living and he is not dead. He was dead, but now he is alive forevermore. So what he's trying to say, you are my little children. I have given you power. Now you do the same thing what I did, and you do greater things than me. But we are not using the power of God. We are always afraid of things. The fear is against faith. When you are afraid, that means you don't have faith. And the word of God says if you don't have faith, that is sin. So we have to have faith in God. There are so many people said, oh, I have faith. What kind of faith you have? You cannot have your faith in a man. The word of God said, do not trust any man, do not trust any king, do not trust any president, do not trust anybody. Somebody said, oh, this president will do something, this king will do something. He said, if you trust in man, you will be sorry. Trust in God. Our God will supply our needs. He said, Philippians 4:19, what he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one who supplies our need. We do not trust in any man. We do not trust in any king. If you start trusting, you will fail. Trust in God. So once Jesus Christ is in you or with you, then you don't have to worry about any sickness, any disease, or any enemy. So one person says, oh, there is a cure for common cold. And somebody says, oh, no, there is another colds are coming. There is no cure. What I'm trying to say, don't listen to those people. Listen to the word of God. The word of God is saying Jesus Christ provided the life for us, eternal life. He has given us power over sickness and disease. But we are not using it. We have to use it. Somebody sneezes and says, oh, I'm going to catch a cold. If you say I'm going to catch a cold, you will catch a cold. But if you sneeze, what you supposed to say? Thank God my lungs are getting clear. I'm getting better. I'm getting strong. You know, that boy was dead. And when Elisha prayed for that child sneezed for 7 times. He was dead and started sneezing. So we know that life is coming. The lungs are getting clear. When you're sneezing, don't think that you are getting something. Do you know when you sneeze, somebody says, God bless you? Yeah. Do you know why they're saying it? You don't know, because somebody's saying it, you're saying it. Yeah. When you're sneezing, one split second, your heart stops. So somebody says, your heart should not stop like that. So God bless you. Live forever. So we should not be afraid of anything. Jesus Christ has given us power over all kinds of demonic forces. The word of God is saying Jesus Christ came at the light in the shining in the darkness, but the darkness didn't have power to control him or destroy him or quench him. So if you are the light of God and if you are the light of the world, devil has no power over you. You remember, the darkness has no power to quench the light. Just think that one room is dark and you take the light there. If the light is there, do you think that darkness is going to quench that light? No, darkness disappears when the light comes. We never heard anywhere there was a light. If you have a candlelight and the wind comes in that room, it might go away. But I'm talking about the electric light. You put the electric switch on in the dark room. You never saw the bulb became black all of a sudden because there was so much dark and the light could not shine. Doesn't work that way. Maybe it's malfunctioning. That's two different things. But when the light comes, darkness goes away. So the Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He shined in the darkness, and darkness didn't have power. The same way darkness has no power over you. Let's go back to the St. John chapter 1, verse 6.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
Now here he's saying, before Jesus Christ preached the gospel, John was the one preaching the first. So now, the word of God doesn't want people to get mixed up with the John and Jesus. Many people got mixed up with the John, and now John is trying to explain, I'm not that light, because people start asking John, who are you? Then he's saying, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. When you read about him in this scripture, John explains everything. He says, I didn't know anything about Jesus, but God told me that when you baptize him, when he comes up out of the water, you will see the Spirit coming upon him. And then this is the one who is going to baptize people with the Holy Spirit and fire. John was not the light, but he came here to give the witness of light. In this seventh verse, he said, why he was doing this? The same came for the witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So the John's job was this. I am not the light. I am not the savior. But I am just the voice in the wilderness talking about the savior. So I want you to believe Jesus. In this book we will be reading John pointing towards the Jesus Christ. He says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And many of his disciples follow Christ. And he was not jealous. He was not embarrassed. Today's world, if you have a church and some person leaves the church and go to another church, then your pastor gets mad and they will have problem. But if some person doesn't like you and they like somebody else, I would say, go and be happy. I will never call that person again. If the person says, Pastor Peter, I found a church and I go to that church and I'm happy, I will never even call him, how are you doing, sir? No, it's not my job, because it's not my sheep anymore. God has given me sheep. I have to take care of those sheep. When you go and mix your sheep like another shepherd, that becomes his job to take care of you. The John the Baptist never said, trust in me, believe in me, I will give eternal life. I am the one came first, so you trust in me. He didn't say. He said, I should decrease and he should increase. He wanted to tell the people, I'm here just to witness about Christ. He says he was not that light, but was sent bear witness of the light. The same way, now the Saint John was not the light, and he was sent to witness or bear witness of light. But compare about John and you. I'm sorry, Saint John says, I'm not a light. But if somebody asks you, are you the light? What are you going to say? Yes, I am the light. Where do you got the light? I got the light from Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light. And he says, you are the light. So we are the light of the world. But this John could not say that, because we received from Jesus Christ. And John died before Jesus Christ gave us new life. New life came through the blood of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist died before Jesus Christ died. So the John the Baptist is not the New Testament saints. His name is in New Testament, but he was in the Old Testament. Old Testament saints were sanctified by the blood of bulls and goats. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist did not get that chance, because he died before Jesus shed his blood.
So he says, I'm not the light. I'm just here to witness about the light. St. John chapter 1, verse 9.
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Now he's saying, that was the true light. Who was the true light? Jesus Christ. And we learn, St. John said, that was the true light, and we are witnessing about that true light, and that true light was Jesus Christ. So, but the John says, I'm not that light. But when you read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 14 to 16, we are the light of the world. Please read.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
See, we are the light of the world. That means, what are we going to do? He says, shine. How do you shine? Tell what Jesus Christ told you to do. Do the miracles, signs and wonders and miracles in his name. And let the people see the glory of God in you. We are the walking, talking Jesus on this earth. We are the hands of God, the feet of God, the mouth of God. And so God wants you to be useful vessel of God. That's what he's saying. Shine for the glory of God. Now you are the light of the world. John the Baptist did not have this privilege to call, I am the light of the world. But we are. Let's read verse 10. St. John 1:10.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Now here he's saying sad thing. He was in the world. He's talking about Jesus Christ came into this world, and the world was made by him, that everything was created by Jesus Christ. So here again said, the world was made by him, means made by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the world knew him not. Can you imagine? He walked and talked and did signs and wonders and miracles. When you read in the Word of God, multitudes of people were following him wherever he went. And thousands of people were following. But when he was on the cross, how many people were there? Even his own disciples ran away. And very few people were standing there. And even the time of resurrection, we see only the Word of God says, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, more than 500 people witnessed Jesus Christ going to heaven. And the same chapter he said, but there are many people did not even believe. 500 people. Do you know how many thousands of people following him when he healed them and delivered them? But many people did not believe him or did not receive him. And then he says, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now who are his own? His own people, he's talking about the children of Israel, Jewish people. He came to his own. Do you know when Jesus Christ came into this world, he came as the prophet of God. Moses said, let's read there, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15 to 18. Moses said,
the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me hear this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
Now the Moses was the great man of God, he called the deliverer. But now he says, I cannot do this job. I want you to send somebody as a prophet. And then he prophesied, God is going to send some man, some prophet just like me. And God approved what he said. God did not say, no, I'm not going to send anybody. You're the prophet. He said, okay, I'm going to send a prophet just like you. And people will listen to him. If they don't, they will be punished. And so now Jesus Christ came according to what Moses prophesied. The God says to Moses, I'm going to send a prophet. So the Jesus Christ came as a prophet to the children of Israel first. That's why he did not go to any other countries. Even though some countries telling you, China will say, India say, Jesus Christ came to Tibet, or some other people will say, but they are false teaching. Jesus never left his country. And not only that, if you read in the book of Matthew, you will see when he chosen his disciple, Matthew says 12, and then Luke says 70 more, and all those disciples were given the order, do not go to any other countries, just go to the children of Israel. And some people said, why Jesus Christ was prejudiced? Why he did not send these disciples all around the world? But he said to them, the time will come. When Jesus Christ says, I will send you the Holy Spirit, tarry in Jerusalem, according to book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then he says, when you fill with the Holy Spirit, you will be my witness, not only in Jerusalem, but around the world. So he was not prejudiced, but according to the word of God, he came to his own first. He gave them the first chance to listen to the word of God. Same thing. When God called Paul and God says to him, Jesus said to him, I have chosen you, a chosen vessel to take my message to the heathens. But the same time Paul was giving this message to the synagogues and the Jewish people, and they didn't listen to him. Finally, he said, I shake my clothes and now I go to Gentiles. So here the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ gave first chance to the Jewish people. You know that lady came who was not Jewish, and she said, my daughter is sick and please heal her. What Jesus said, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And people might be thinking Jesus Christ using very bad language. But those days they were considered as a dogs. So he was just telling, God has sent me first to the children of Israel. So this is my job, and the healing is for the children of Israel. So he said, children's bread. So how can I give it to the dog? But what did she say? The dog also can survive from the crumbs falling from the master's table. So if I'm a dog, give me a little bit crumb. So he said, okay, you have great faith. And he says, let it be according to your faith. Your daughter is already healed. And when she went there, daughter was healed. So Jesus Christ was not prejudiced. He came to do the will of God. And he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Let's read the verse 12. St. John chapter 1, verse 12.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
See, it's very simple. He says he came to his own. They did not receive it, but he said, but as many as received him, whom? Jesus Christ. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. That means just believing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he gives you power to be called the sons of God. Now, some people said, I don't want name sons of God. Why didn't this word say daughter of God? That's why some translation says sons and daughters of God. But they did not understand when your sonship means it's much more than daughter. In the olden days, if the father dies, all these properties go to the son. And one time there was no sons. One man has only daughters. God says, give them also as you do it to the son. So in the sight of God, we are all the sons of God. In the beginning, when God created man and a woman, male and female, go to the Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. He says he made male and female, and what did he say? He called them Adam. God did not call Eve, Adam called Eve. God called man and woman Adam.
Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created.
Their name Adam. The woman and a man was Adam in the sight of God. That's why we read, in the eyes of God, when you are Christian, there is no male, there is no female. We are all equal in the sight of God. The same way he says, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be the Son of God. He looks at you, not a daughter, but a son. And that's a glorifying. You should not be thinking why he cannot say me a daughter. Now let me give another example. When you say Jesus Christ is the bridegroom and we are the bride, the man should not say, I'm not a female. Why should I be bride? You understand? The same time, when you call the sons of God, you should not be embarrassed that I am a daughter. Call me daughter. You are the sons of God. In the same way, when the bridegroom is Jesus, the man should not say, I cannot be his bride. What God says, we have to say, thank you, I'm a child of God. So he said, how you became the child of God? You just believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He gives you power, authority to be called the sons of God. And then he says, how that happens, let's read the verse 13. St. John 1:13.
Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Who are these people? He says, if anyone believes Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, those people are not born by the blood. Now, if each and every person, when they are born by the mother and father's will, they have the father's blood type. So they can say, my father's blood is so-and-so, and I have his blood type. So he says, you are not born by the blood, you are not born by the fleshly desire, or you are not born by the will of any man, but you are born of God. So that means we are born from above. We are born by the Spirit of God. Once you say, I'm a child of God, that means the Spirit of God dwells in you. And the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. The day you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you cannot call yourself Christian. Read Romans chapter 8, verse 9.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
See, the Spirit of God is dwelling in you already, but if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are not a Christian. So in short, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in you. And so Spirit of Christ dwell in you, what does it mean? Now you became like a son of God. And then the Son of God has power to call the Father, Abba, Father. So the Spirit of Christ makes you the Son of God. And the Word of God says, Father says, when you receive Jesus Christ, I'm going to put His Spirit in you so you can call me Abba, Father. You read in that Galatians. So point I'm making, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you get? You get the Spirit of Christ and you get the Spirit of Father. Now I'm going to prove it to you from another verse. First of all, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God gives you authority to call the sons of God. And then he says, if you receive Jesus, you have the Spirit of Christ, now you can call me Abba, Father. And then Jesus Christ says, go to the St. John chapter 14 and verse 23.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
See, and we will come unto him. We means Father and myself. We will come unto him and make our abode with him, or our house in you. So what does it mean? Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got the Father and you got the Son dwelling in you. But there are many people making many mistakes. They are saying, once you are born again, you got the Holy Spirit. And that's what the other people teaching you. You did not receive the Holy Spirit. What you received? The Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. Spirit of God is holy and Spirit of Christ is holy. So we got the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. But the third person of Trinity is called the Promise Holy Spirit. That promise Holy Spirit is kept for the believer who asks to receive the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not given silently. You have to ask for it. And if you are not born again child of God, if you are not living a holy life, the Holy Spirit will not come. And you have to invite the Holy Spirit. You have to know about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will not come in unholy vessel. But once we receive Jesus Christ comes, washes this vessel with his precious blood and makes us righteous. Then the Father comes and lives in this body. The Son lives in this body. Now this is body is the holy temple of God. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16 and 17 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 and 20. We are the temple of the living God once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then the Word of God says, if you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you should glorify God and keep this vessel holy. Okay, let's go back to the St. John chapter 1, verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Now again he's saying, the Word of God made flesh. The Word of God was made flesh. What does it mean? The Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is called the Word of God, took the form of man. You remember once we were doing the Bible study and I gave an example, I don't know you remember, but God said to Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. And so Jeremiah goes to potter's house and the potter was making the pot. And while he was making the pot, this is in Jeremiah chapter 18, if somebody wants to go ahead home and study it. So he was making the pot, and the pot didn't come according to what he wanted to do. So what he did not throw the lump away. He used the same lump. So when the potter is making the pot is already in his mind. Any artist or anyone doing something, the picture is already in the mind of the creator who is creating that pot. So he was making the pot and the pot did not come properly. So he did not throw the pot, but he just molded again and make a pot exactly what he wanted. So he said, go and tell the children of Israel, I am the potter, you are in my hand, so I can make you and change you. So what has to do with this? I'm telling you, when the first Adam was created from the mud or clay or the dust, that Adam did not do what Father told him to do. So what happened? That pot was mixed up. So God did not throw the pot. What he did, God took the same clay, that means he took the same flesh and made Christ. And that pot was crushed on the Calvary. And when the pot was buried and came out of the grave as a new vessel, completely new person. He could come through the wall and he can talk to people. The same power he has given to us. Once we are born again and once Jesus Christ comes and he transforms our body just like his body, then we will be doing exactly what he was able to do on this earth, going through the wall. We could do that too. So the point I'm making, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You remember the man committed sin, and they says he lost the glory of God. He says all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. So we lost the glory, we lost the power when we commit sin. So Jesus Christ came, and now he gave us the same power, same glory, whatever he has. And his glory was what? Glory was just like the first only begotten Son of God. So we got the glory, we found the grace and truth in Jesus Christ. Okay, we will continue this next week, God willing. So shall we rise and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you for sending your Son into this world. And we know that this Son of God is not the ordinary Son. He is God himself. He has the power to give us eternal life. He has the light and life that devil cannot destroy. You have given us the same power, the same body, the same life of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord Jesus, give us grace to shine on this earth for Christ. And let us be living witness to the world. And let the whole world see Jesus Christ in us. And let us bring many, many souls to the kingdom of God. The world is dying without God and without Christ. We are your feet, we are your hands, we are your mouthpiece. And we are going to tell the world and witness like a saint. John the Baptist was saying, I am the witness of that light. Let us go and tell. We have much more blessing than the John the Baptist. Let us glorify your name in this world and use God-given power to bring people to the kingdom of God. We commit our bodies, our soul, our spirit into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Please be seated.